You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to another episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. I am Aaron the Brain, and I will be your host for the evening, and I may or may not be joined by my brother from the exact same mother. See, this is, we're already messing up. Because I don't run the show. So this is the kind of show that you're in store for. My brother from the exact same mother is, having more adventures in parenthood. And so he may or may not be joining me on this program. But, you know, we'll have some interesting conversation, or I'll have some interesting conversation with myself. If you've got some questions that you have that you'd like me to answer in the chat, I may or may not answer them. This might be a good opportunity to do that because I wasn't planning on doing this show by myself this evening, but we're going to have some fun and we're going to roll with it. Obviously, it's been a pretty busy time for the Miami Dolphins and for us as fans, as we have finally gotten some answers to the much anticipated free agent frenzy that we're now in. We got the legal tampering period done. Now the start of the league year is here. And so we got a bunch of news about some Dolphins players that are outgoing. We got some news about some Dolphin player, about some new players that are going to be Dolphins. And we're going to dive into it. I'm going to preface it by saying Chris Greer's approach to this offseason thus far is not what I would have done. If you listen to any of our previous episodes since the end of the season, I was pretty clear and adamant about the way that I would have handled this offseason. And to me, there were two kind of schools of thought. And mine was sort of blending those two schools of thought. The one school of thought was we need to continue trying to go all in every year until the wheels fall off. And, you know, that would have been you're bringing back everybody. You're restructuring everybody. You're finding ways to free up enough cap space to even go out and add more impact pieces in free agency to really make a run here in 2024 and 2025, because we're just tired of the mediocrity. We're tired of, you know, being told by, you know, by the local pundits that we're serious Super Bowl contenders only to be disappointed. The other school of thought was it's time to really kind of take a step back and retool this thing, because in order to have a sustainable winning window for a relatively long period of time, 4, 5, 6 years, it's not sustainable to keep all of your high-priced free agents. And frankly, with the number of young guys that are going to be do big-time extensions, your Javon Hollins, your Jalen Phillipses of the world, your Jalen Waddles of the world, and the guys that you currently have under contract, and you're going to be extending Tua here very soon as well, that maybe this was a time to sort of take a step back, look around the room and realize, look, if you couldn't win a playoff game the last 2 years with the question marks that you have, with the Chiefs likely getting better this year, maybe this was a good time to take a step back and kind of recalibrate. And that seems to be the approach. That seems to, and I'll give Chris Greer credit, because of those two schools of thought, I definitely think that that is the right approach. I don't think that there's anything that the Dolphins could have done this year that would really make them a likely Super Bowl team this year. They could have brought back everybody, run the whole thing back, brought back, you know, extended Tua, brought back Christian Wilkins, brought back Robert Hunt. I don't know what's going on with Connor Williams, if he even is going to play this year, because there's some rumors about around there that his ACL injury was so bad that he may not even play. So I don't know about that. But, you know, let's say he was healthy. You could bring him back. You could bring back Andrew Van Ginkel. You could keep Jerome Baker on the team. And you could still find ways with restructures and cuts to go out and have added like a Derrick Henry and one other real key piece, and then just filled out the rest of your roster with like vet minimum guys. And there are some people that think that that would have been the right approach. I think that if the Dolphins would have done that, they likely would have ended up with the same results that they had the last couple of seasons, which is a team that really isn't sustainably built to win a Super Bowl. It would still be a flawed team, and it'd be a team with much less depth, so that when those inevitable injuries happen, you're left in a worse shape than you were last year, and probably closer to the shape that you were in 2022 when you got hit with the injury bug and you almost missed out on the playoffs altogether. So I say all that to say, yes, I give Chris Greer credit, because looking at this realistically and not just going all in this offseason, I think takes restraint, and I think takes guts, because you know, obviously the fan base is foaming at the mouth for this team to finally win a playoff game and to actually make a deep run in the playoffs. So I give him credit, and I think it's the right move. However, I think he's gone a little bit too far to that side. I would have advocated, and I did advocate for, yes, I'm extending Tua. Yes, I'm bringing back Christian Wilkins. I would have extended him. Now, would I have paid Christian Wilkins $27.5 million? It's a good question. I don't think it would have come to that, because from what it sounds like from people in the know, the Dolphins were never close to that figure. The Dolphins were consistently lowballing him. And if the Dolphins would have given Christian Wilkins around $23, $24 million last season, they would have signed him. If they would have given him that contract extension somewhere in the middle of the season, I think they would have signed him, and I think they would have gotten a deal done. I think similarly, they could have gotten a deal done for Robert Hunt if that was what they were intending to do. But I think the Dolphins, Chris Greer, made it known that what he wanted to do, he was not going to spend big money. It wasn't even about getting into a bidding war. He didn't even want to pay anywhere close to what these guys wanted. He probably underestimated their market a little bit, but at the end of the day, I don't think he cared. I think when the Dolphins decided to sign Zach Sealer last year for $13 million a year, I think they doubled down on it and said, look, we like Christian Wilkins. We would love to have that tandem of salt and pepper come back next year, but we've got Zach Sealer locked up for $13 million. So if Christian Wilkins isn't able to come back for like $18 or $19 million a year, then so be it. And that's what happened. And so I think, yes, are these guys getting overpaid? Absolutely. It happens every year in free agency. And look who has decided to join us. The biggest free agent acquisition of the evening. It's my brother from the exact same mother, Amplified to Rock. Hey, Josh, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
How's that for a little?
How we doing? How what I miss? I just want to say, you know, having kids, anything is possible at any given moment, and you think everything is running smooth and everything is on schedule, and there's a breakdown in communication at any moment. It can happen. It's a thing. You know, it's always, you know, I try not to record We try not to do this show when my wife is out of town, but my wife is out of town for work. So I'm home with the kids. I'm juggling the kids. Everything is going exactly. I've strategized. I've perfected everything. Everything is going exactly according to plan. And then suddenly it's not. I'll spare you the details. But anyway, suffice to say, everything's fine now. I'm just late. So
yeah. So better late than never. And so all you missed was I was just sort of prefacing that this is not what I would have done if I was Chris Greer. However, I think of the two schools of thought on either end of the spectrum, the going all in this year or the taking a step back and doing like the retooling, or you might call it a soft reset or a recalibration, whatever. I do think that side of the argument is the correct approach. Sure. I just wouldn't have necessarily gone to the extent that they've gone. And we'll get into, obviously, we all know who they lost at this point. We know the massive contracts that they got. We'll talk about how, some of the players that the Dolphins have brought in.
Did you talk about that this bed was made 2 years ago?
Well, I haven't gotten into that yet, but since you're bringing that to the party.
Well, I don't know.
Tell us how this bed was made 2 years ago.
Well, the bed was made 2 years ago. So here's the thing, right? I am sure you said, and shout out to everybody in the chat. I see you guys. What's up, everybody? Share, like, and subscribe, all that stuff. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you like this video on YouTube. If you're watching it live, we appreciate you being with us. I will say that I don't think there is anything in terms of this specific offseason in a vacuum. This offseason in a vacuum, I don't know that there's anything that I would describe as a misstep in terms of this offseason in a vacuum. You can agree with this player or that player or whatever, but the Dolphins were never going to pay Robert Hunt $100 million this offseason. It's never going to happen. They were never going to pay Christian Wilkins $27 million a year. The Dolphins had an opportunity to extend Christian Wilkins 2 years ago for significantly less money, and they didn't do it. Instead, Chris Greer made a big splash trading for Tyreek Hill and then trading for Bradley Chubb. And it was the Bradley Chubb trade that indicated that this team was all in right now, come hell or high water. And it was that move in particular which signaled, and you said as much on this show, you said, I think that signals that this team is not prepared to pay Christian Wilkins. And granted, if they had decided to pay Christian Wilkins that offseason, they would have gotten him, they would have extended him, and it would have been to a deal probably not that dissimilar to the deal that they eventually signed Zach Sealer to. Maybe it would have been a little bigger than that, but it wouldn't have been approaching the $27 million that Christian Wilkins is gotten AAV in his contract now, right? So that bet was made a couple of years ago, okay? But in terms of this offseason right now, I think it's okay to say that Chris Greer is not going to push all his chips into the middle of the table and he's going to bide his time, and that the team is going to take a step back and you could say, you can phrase this however you want. Whether you want to say the team is recalibrating, you want to say the team is retooling, you want to say the team is doing a soft reset, you want to say the team is taking a step back, whatever, however you want to describe it, the team is sort of taking a beat right now to step back and readjust, because everything that this team has done over the course of the last 2 years, ever since they traded for Tyreek Hill, They put the gas pedal to the floor and said, we're doing everything in our power to win right now. And the window for them to win right now was 2022 and 2023. And yes, did they have brutal injury luck in 2023 that significantly lowered their ceiling in that season? Yeah, I think that's fair to say, right? I don't think that's unfair to say that, yes, that without that horrific injury luck, perhaps they have a chance to make a deeper run. But the injury luck was what the injury luck was. Things stuttered and sputtered and came to an end. And they ended that 2023 season without so much as even another playoff win. And that forced the team to come into 2024. This was always here. This offseason was always right here. From the moment they made that trade for Bradley Chubb, they were always going to be up against it in this year. And so here they are. And in the vacuum of this year, I don't think it's ridiculous to say that they were never going to pay Christian Wilkins $27 million. They missed their opportunity to get him at lower. I mean, they could have gotten him at $21 million reportedly last offseason. They didn't want to pay that much.
Yeah. Which, see, that's where my point is. That's where I'm at, is that when you talk about, oh, well, this is a smart move. We should have paid Christian Wilkins $27.5 million. And we would have never paid Rob Hunt $20 million a year. Yeah, I agree that we never would have done that. And I wouldn't have advocated for that either, necessarily. However, if you show a little foresight and you know the players that you have and you know what's impending, you know, you can extend these guys before their contracts are up. And when you do that, you avoid having to bid against other player. You avoid the allure of them saying, well, no, I think I can get more in free agency, because historically there's this huge bump when we get in free agency. And we're seeing that right now before our eyes every single day when these massive contracts come out. I think the Dolphins could very easily sign Christian Wilkins for like $21 million per year last season, maybe $22 million per year last season. And had they done that, you'd be looking at that contract right now compared to these other contracts, and you'd be saying, damn, that was a bargain. And if you'd have done the same thing with Rob Hunt last year, you would have said, oh, we could probably lock up Rob Hunt for like $12, $13, $14 million a year. And in the grand scheme of things, you would have looked at that this year and you'd say, damn, we locked up a damn good offensive lineman for a really team-friendly deal. The thing is that Chris Greer has played hardball with his best players, and he's done it in a cookie cutter way that's very predictable at this point. He's not going to pay guys that play certain positions. And we could continue to talk about that, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit more when we get into the draft. But I just think I wouldn't necessarily agree with your assessment that there hasn't been missteps this offseason. I think there's a couple of moves I think that are questionable. I think you're retooling and you're getting cheaper, but you're going to spend all of the money that you saved by cutting Jerome Baker to bring back another linebacker at $10 million a year, who's basically like the same tier player as Jerome Baker.
Definitely a lateral move.
I don't know that is like a great deal. I think, you know, letting Andrew Van Ginkel walk because you got like a slightly cheaper 1 year deal with Shaq Barrett, I think that's questionable, considering you already saved in all of these other places. And I'm going to go one step further on this.
Before you do that, though.
Okay.
I want to say that the thing that changes things here is that you now have a new defensive coordinator in the building. So you may be fundamentally on a certain level having to look at those players on expiring contracts as an opportunity to retool the defense. And I say this not as, you know, I'm not a Chris Greer cheerleader. I would say one of my biggest problems with Chris Greer is that he has for too long just allowed the head coach to define what it was that he was going to do. And what that indicates is that there is an overall lack of overall football vision for the organization. So you don't have a cohesive vision. you can't have a cohesive vision if you're going through head coaches every 3 years. Like, that's just not how it works. And yeah, your general manager might be doing certain business because Adam Gase wants certain guys. He might be doing certain business because Brian Flores wants certain guys. He was doing certain business because Mike McDaniel and Vic Fangio and now Anthony Weaver wants certain guys. That's all well and good. But at some point, you need to have somebody who is the brains behind the operation, who is shaping the whole thing. And the Dolphins don't seem to have that. And so that is why I think now with Anthony Weaver walking in, that's why we're seeing such significant turnover on the defensive side, including guys who could have been had for a bargain price. Like, you know, Jerome Baker was not going to break the bank. Andrew Van Ginkle, wow. I sort of held my nose when I heard that he, you know, I sort of turned my nose up when I heard that he wanted $10 million. And I was like, there's no way this guy's getting $10 million. Lo and behold, he is getting $10 million, but not from the Miami Dolphins. So I don't know. I'm just,
yeah, well, Jerome Baker, I'm not going to sit here and bitch about Jerome Baker, because Jerome Baker was actually scheduled to make $14 million this year against the cap. But they were going to look at, but they saved $10 million in cap space by cutting him. The thing that doesn't make sense to me is that if you're like, you literally just brought in David Long, who was arguably your best linebacker last year. Maybe Jerome Baker was before he got hurt, but they were kind of like David
Once he
Long
got
is
better in the system. Yes.
Yeah. You brought David Long in for 2 years, $11 million last year. So you've proven that you can get linebackers for, you know, a decent value. So going out and getting Jordan Brooks, and I'm not saying he's the same player as Jerome Baker, but he's the same tier of a player. This is not like, this guy is not an all pro. He's not a Pro Bowl player. He's a serviceable starting caliber linebacker, and you're paying $10 million a year for it. Now, I could be wrong. This could be an Anthony Weaver move. This could be Anthony Weaver, like Chris Greer said, okay, I'm going to target this guy, and this guy. I'm going to talk to Anthony Weaver. He's my new defensive coordinator. We know that Chris Greer does this. It's a collaborative approach with his coaches. And he probably said to him, okay, look at our roster. Where do you feel like you really need like an upgrade? And this, he probably does this after he cuts Jerome Baker. And he probably says, we really need to get another linebacker that can start, because I don't trust the other linebackers that we have. And I look at the upcoming draft, and I don't want to use high draft capital for it. And so he says, okay, I got to do what I need to do to get this linebacker. Maybe that's the case, but then you've basically pigeonholed yourself into that and overpaid for a linebacker, because I'm sorry, if I'm paying $10 million for a linebacker, that linebacker better be really, really, really good. I just don't see the value. I think it's a low value signing. Even if he ends up being a nice player for Miami, I don't think he's going to ever be a player that you look at and say, this is a guy that we should be paying $10 million a year to. Now that said, I want to take this one step further, and then I want to talk about some good signings, because I don't disagree with everything that Chris Greer is doing. I think there are some pros to what Chris Greer is doing. But
okay, I want everybody to just listen very carefully here, because Aaron the Brain is about to compliment Chris Greer.
No, not yet. That's coming next.
Never mind.
But stay tuned for that.
We'll compliment Chris Greer in a few minutes. Stay tuned. That's a tease. That's what we call a tease in the business.
If your plan this offseason was to retool and take a step back and be cheap everywhere to maintain full flexibility, I'm not sure I'm extending Tua Tagovailoa. Because the main appeal of extending Tua at this point, with everything that he's shown, pros and cons, was that it was going to give you the flexibility to spend in free agency. But the Dolphins at this point are showing they don't want to restructure Bradley Chubb because they're hedging and they're looking for the ramp to get out of that contract, not with a post June 1st cut next year, but possibly with a start of the league year cut next year to get out of that contract sooner, to have that money for free agency. They haven't restructured Tyreek Hill yet, even though that seems like a no-brainer move. And these are the moves that they're making. And now the free agent market, the first wave is almost dried up at this point. It's gone very quick to the point where you're probably not going to see another significant Dolphins signing until post June 1st, when the $18 million of Xavien Howard cap comes up. And so
you're talking what do you mean when you say significant? Because there's a couple of guys, without getting into the whole compensatory pick math, but there's a couple of guys out there that seem like possible, like good fits for this Miami Dolphins team that are out there that wouldn't affect the comp pick math.
Well, it's not about the comp pick. It's about cap space.
Fair enough.
Because the Dolphins haven't done all of their cap cutting measures. And granted, they don't need, they're like, if you're not going to spend the money, you don't need to restructure Bradley Chubb, considering you might, you know, considering if Bradley Chubb ends up not playing the majority of the year and looks bad at the end of the year, then, you know, maybe it is a good idea to get out of that contract sooner rather than later. But if that's your idea and that's your goal, well, then why are we freeing up cap space by extending Tua when you don't need to? That's my point, is that, like, granted, you could argue, well, they have hitched their wagon to Tua and they don't want to go into the year, you know, with Tua being a lame duck. They want to just get this done, put it to bed. It's good for Tua's sanity. It's good for, you know, the direction of the fan. I get all that. But if your whole goal is to maintain flexibility, there's a reason why you didn't give him a contract extension last year. So, like, if that's the goal, I'm not sure I'm giving Tua this massive contract extension. And if he goes out and he plays amazing this year, then we can give him the contract extension next year, and maybe it costs us a few million dollars a year because the cap goes up again. But I don't think that's a huge deal when you're talking about the flip side of that being, if he doesn't play well or the injury problem crops up again, now you're stuck with an albatross of a contract. So, like, I was fully on board with extending Tua because the idea was, well, that frees up your cap space to bring back some of your other good players. But they didn't bring back any of their other good players. So why are you even doing that?
I mean, I would argue that the contract, the extension for Tua, is as much about freeing up space this year as it is about freeing space next year.
It's not going to free up space next year.
Well, it'll free up a little bit.
Not really, because
you're right. No, it's certainly adding more to it. Like, well, you know, it's an extra contract that is not scheduled to be on the books, but still.
Well, not only that, but if you were to play Tua on the fifth year option this year and then extend him next year, you could make the first year of the deal have a far less significant cap hit. So you would actually save you money, to at least in the short term, not in the long term, but in the short term, it would save you money in 2025. If you decided to, it's probably moot because it's going to happen, but maybe the thinking there is, well, if we can't come to an agreement, it's not the end of the world because we have these other options and we could play him on the fifth year, but whatever.
So now we come to a rare moment on the Same Old Dolphin Show, which, by the way, if you haven't followed the Same Old Dolphin Show on twitter.com, currently known as X, you can do that at Same Old Dolphins. Follow us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. I'm also on Blue Sky. You can follow me over there at Amplified to Rock. Share, like, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. like this video on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube right now, smash that like button. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Subscriptions are growing, baby. We see you, subscribers. We see you out there, and we appreciate you. Make sure you do all that stuff. Make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Brandon, we get to a very rare moment here on the Same Old Dolphin Show where you compliment Chris Greer.
So not everything that he's doing is bad. I don't agree with everything, but he's making a couple of good. And this is who Chris Greer is. Let's be real. The reason that he's been here as long as he is not because he's an absolute dumpster fire of a GM or, you know, I know he hasn't been the GM the whole time, but he's not an absolute dumpster fire of a GM. He's proven to be a very mediocre GM, which is why the Dolphins have been wallowing in mediocrity the entire time that he's been here. And what that means is for every good move that Chris Greer makes, there's a bad move. And for every bad move, there's a good move. So for the things that Chris Greer has done that I don't disagree with, here's some things that Greer has done well this offseason. The Jonnu Smith contract is a great move. You got an upgrade at a position that the Dolphins desperately needed an upgrade. You got him for 2 years, $8.4 million. And it's essentially a one-year, $4.3 million contract because if you get out of it after next year, he only carries like $2 million of caps of dead cap. So it's essentially, it's a $4.3 million deal for Jonnu Smith, who instantly becomes your number one tight end. He fills a need because he can actually block. And he's an upgrade as far as a blocking tight end. He's also an upgrade as far as a receiving tight end. And furthermore, because he was cut, he fits into that, you know, gaming the system to try to get your comp picks for losing players like, you know, your Christian Wilkins and your Rob Hunt and your other guys. And so that's a really good move. Same token. Jordan Poyer, really good signing. This guy comes in, probably going to be your second starting safety. Worst case, he's your third safety. You bring him in, 1 year, $2 million. Yes, he's an older player, but he's still a guy that can absolutely play. He's immediately an upgrade. I mean, granted, we don't know if we're bringing back Deshaun Elliott or not, but he would have been your second best safety on the roster last year.
Based on the Poyer contract, I would say it's actually still a strong possibility that Deshaun Elliott comes back.
I think it's possible. I mean, based on the Brandon Jones contract, though, I don't know. Deshaun Elliott might get a lot more money. That Brandon Jones contract is wild. I can't believe he got paid that. I think you got Jordan Poyer for what you should have paid, what you would have paid Brandon Jones, which is crazy. I mean, great move again. And another guy that's, you know, not going to count against you in the comp pick formula. I think this becomes the new thing. Now, this is obviously the strategy is okay. Yeah. You lost some of these guys, but you're going to get, you know, potentially late third round picks, which is like the value of getting a second round pick. And that's all well and good. And you can spin this to the positive. And all right, wait, hold on. I don't want to do this. We're complimenting Chris Greer. I don't want to, it was starting to turn in the other direction.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is getting ready to go off the rails here.
Yeah. No, but Greer should be commended for what he's doing there. I think is a good idea given, I see where his thought process is. I don't necessarily agree with the Jordan Brooks contract, but if that's it, if that's where they're spending the most of their money, and then at this point it's just, you know, filling out the rest of the roster, and then we'll see what happens with the post June 1st cuts when you get the $18 million extra dollars to play with, and you know, maybe you get the Tua extension done and that frees up like $10-11 million, so you've got a lot of money to play with at that point. We'll see what else they do, but you know, I think that I can get behind, at least if you're going to go that strategy, at least see it through like that. Like, don't say, okay, we're going to retool. But then you do something stupid and you sign players that aren't really going to help you long term at the risk of, and then at the expense of losing those potential comp picks. So I think there's sense, there's a method to the madness. Again, not 100% in agreement with the way that he's handled it. It's not how I would have gone about it, but I think, and this is where I'll leave it as far as just strictly on the philosophy of building the team, what the Dolphins are doing this offseason, is that by doing it the way that they're doing it, they are extending their winning window. However, they are putting a massive amount of onus on themselves to get it right in the draft here in these next 2 years. Because if they don't, the ceiling is much, much, much lower than what it would be had you kept your best players.
I think that's a fair way to say it. Yeah, I mean, it leads you to the conversation about the comp picks and the comp pick argument. And, you know, the comp pick is like your consolation prize, essentially. Congratulations. In exchange for allowing more players on expiring contracts to go elsewhere, we have given you this lottery ticket that is in the third round and has about a 33% chance of turning into something exciting and good.
Late third round.
Yeah, late third round. So, you know, that's how I feel about comp picks. I think it's we hear a lot of people in the Dolphins sphere right now singing the praises of how exciting it is that the Dolphins are going to get comp picks. And it's like, I mean, I would have, if you would have told me in 2020 that the choice was extend Christian Wilkins now, or maybe get a third round comp pick in the 2025 draft, I would have told you to extend Christian Wilkins. And I don't think I would have hesitated.
Well, let me throw a couple other scenarios at you, because one, the one thing that, and that's really funny because nobody would have said, yeah, give me the comp pick. Yeah, right. But now everybody's saying, yeah, give me the comp pick. You're right. Absolutely right on that. You're absolutely right. But had the Dolphins not painted themselves into a corner with the cap and they had franchised Christian Wilkins, they would have gotten better than a late third round pick back for Christian Wilkins, right? In a trade. You think so, right? Might not have happened right away, but you got to think that you get more than a late third round pick for Christian Wilkins, given the fact that a team just signed him to a $27 million contract. Now, I'll do that one better.
$27 million AAV contract.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And then I'll do you one better. Let's say you signed him last year to $21, $22 million a year. And then you see what the market is this year. And then you still decide, well, you know what? We signed Christian Wilkins to that extension. He deserved that extension. We're definitely a better team. We don't need to get him. We have him under contract. But if we can get a really nice pick for him, this would be a good contract to trade. And because he signed to $22 million a year, he's now a bargain of a contract to trade. And you probably can get a first for him.
What a time. Yeah. I mean, so this is why I say my issue isn't individual moves about this particular offseason. I think this offseason is going to be what it is. I think I would expect the Dolphins to be, when push comes to shove and we get to the beginning of the 2024 season, I expect the Dolphins roster to look slightly like not quite as good as it looked last year. I don't expect it to be a massive drop off, because like a lot of people will tell you, and like all you have to do is look at the team. They are still loaded with talent. It's still a team that is loaded with talent. But this was a team that was more loaded with talent last year than they are right now. And again, I also want to say it's March. It's March. There are 6 months between now and when the season actually begins and we start playing meaningful football. A lot can happen. A lot will happen. The way the team looks today is not how it's going to look in September. But I feel reasonably confident based on how things have played out, that this team is going to be, you know, have taken a slight, at least a slight step backwards in terms of roster construction by the time we get to the beginning of the season by necessity. And now it's, and here's the weird thing about the NFL. It is possible that a Dolphins team with a slightly worse roster in 2024 than they had in 2023 could end up having more success than the team in 2024. It's certainly possible because that's the NFL, right? That we had that great talented roster in 2023 that couldn't stay healthy. And the train went off the rails. And now you've got this other roster. You've got a, you're going to probably have a completely different defensive look on things, and things could function completely differently. And it's still possible that the team could go places. So we're sitting here on a show called The Same Old Dolphin Show. And while there are certainly hallmarks of same old Dolphins types of things that have played out over the past couple of years, where the Dolphins find themselves right now is not it's not something that I would consider to be a super same old Dolphins location in terms of how the build is going, because they haven't ripped it down to the studs and they haven't pushed all their chips into the middle of the table. They haven't done that yet. We're not talking about a team trying to go from 7 wins to 9 wins. We're still talking about a team that is trying to stay right around that 11 win mark and try to get a little better than that. This team is still very loaded. And, you know, the way things are playing out right now, it's, I wouldn't call this the same old Dolphins situation, although the results have certainly been same old Dolphins. So that, I mean, you know, it is what it is. So I'm not telling you jump off the ship. I'm not telling you to cut a promo on Chris Greer. I'm not telling you to do any of those things. All I'm saying is that, you know, this team is going to take a little step back probably in all likelihood, and that's okay. And if the roster somehow gets to September and the roster is somehow better than it was last year, great. Then there's more pressure to win now.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue against like us being loaded. I think loaded is overstating it. I think
we were loaded last year.
Yeah, well, you were loaded last year and you just lost your best interior defensive lineman, your two best interior offensive linemen, your second best corner. And what have you done? You've done a lateral move at linebacker. You've upgraded at tight end. You haven't done a whole lot. Like you really haven't done much to address anything anywhere where you've really lost. I mean, they went out and they signed Neville Gallimore, who,
always good to have another Neville on the team, you know?
Yeah. Well, Neville Hewitt was, what did we call him? The banker?
Professor.
No, the banker.
The banker. Right. The banker.
Banker. So what, well, I don't think, let's wait for Neville Gallimore to make the team before he gets the nickname.
Let's let him make
the team. I get the feeling that he's got an uphill battle to make the team. I don't think he's even replacement for Raekwon Davis. I think he's competition for Brandon Peely. I think that's a nothing burger of a sign.
Well, I think it was I'll call it probably a lateral move at best with Aaron Brewer.
No, that's a doubt. It's a good signing. You're going cheaper at the position, but you're still getting a guy who has upside, who is a decent starter, but he's not an upgrade, or he's not even a lateral move over Connor Williams.
I'm saying Aaron Brewer is everything you want him to be.
At best, it's a lateral move.
That's what I said. I literally said it's a lateral move at best.
Well, yeah,
you got so upset because you heard me say a lot, and then you jumped in.
Well, it's the emphasis. You put emphasis on lateral move. Yeah, I would have put I would have put emphasis on at best. Because realistically, it's not a lateral move. It's a downgrade.
Okay. Well, fair enough. But those are the kinds of moves that the Dolphins are going to make. And yes, is there value to saying that look at all of the guys the Dolphins have brought in for the money that they could have just paid Robert Hunt and Christian Wilkins, but instead they got all of these guys? Yes. But that's, you know, as I'll go back to my, and I know the fantasy football and actual football are not like perfect parallels, but it's like, you know, I'm going to trade, you know, prime Alvin Kamara for like four guys who might equal Alvin Kamara. It's like, why do I want to trade? I don't want four guys. I want the guy who's in one spot who's going to give me all of the points, you know?
Yeah.
Now, it's not to say that you're not. And in actual football, you'll get value from the four other guys that you brought in for the price of the one. Like, you'll get value there. It's so it's like I said, it's not a perfect parallel, but you get the, you get my drift.
It also doesn't work like that.
Yeah, right.
Because that's not the way the cap works. Granted, long term, like when you look at the overall value of the contract, sure, you want to make that argument, even though those numbers are skewed because contract values aren't like you see the whole value of the contract and only a portion of the money is guaranteed and the guys aren't seeing the full dollar amount anyway. So that's right. Skewed. But what really matters is the cap space, because when you look at Christian Wilkins' contract, the first year of his deal, he's got an $11.5 million contract. So it's not like they got, you know, five guys for what they would have paid Christian Wilkins that are like five starters for Christian Wilkins. No, that realistically, they got realistically, they got Jordan Brooks and Jordan Poyer for what they paid Christian Wilkins this season.
Right.
Essentially.
So it's still early. Like I said, my frustration is born out of a couple of years ago that we got to be sad about a couple guys. Man, Christian Wilkins just put up the Instagram post a little while ago. And, you know, the good news, we got Jake Bailey on a 2-year contract, and that's awesome.
If there's one place where we needed to overpay, it was for our below average punter.
We couldn't give Thomas Morstead Jake Bailey's contract 2 years ago.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you think Jake Bailey is worth the contract simply by being a great holder?
I mean, that's a fair point.
I think that's only logic. The only logic behind giving him a pay raise, because it wasn't based off of his punting.
The only logic is that the right leg of God renaissance is because of Jake Bailey.
Either that, or maybe the right leg of God failures of years past are because we didn't have an elite holder like Jake Bailey.
I feel like this needs more analysis. I feel like we should really do a deep dive into the holding, not punting, not kicking. We need to do a deep analysis of the holding.
We got to watch film. We got to watch a lot of film.
I want to go back up. We got to check the rotation. We got to make sure that the laces are at the right angle. It's very important. This is why people listen to the Same Old Dolphin Show, because we get to the real issues that America really wants. The kitchen table issues that real Miami Dolphin fans want to know about is Jake Bailey is an elite holder. And that's why he got a 2-year extension.
Hey, I mean, that's points. That's money in the bank.
That's right, baby. He's making that Jason Sanders contract even better in value. We're still paying $7 million to a kicker or whatever it is this year. But hey, it's all good. It's all good. So that's where we're at right now. I mean, I would say the time to make an evaluation of the offseason is not right now, obviously. And I would say that anybody who is telling you that who is trying to make an evaluation of the offseason right now is sincerely and severely misguided. There's a long way to go. And like I said earlier, a lot can and a lot will happen between now and the start of the regular season. And like I said, I think it's been a perfectly fine offseason in a vacuum. The one thing I think there are some of the contracts that some of these players got were surprising, but the fact that those players ended up leaving is not terribly surprising to me. That's what I will say. So I don't know. Long way to go. Draft still to go. More players to sign. And, you know, I fully expect that by the time the regular season rolls around, the Dolphins are going to be in roughly the same position that they were in before. Right in amongst the pack of good teams with the possibility of being a great team in the AFC. So, which is what you want at that time of year. You want to be one of those teams. They're going to be a team that's in with a chance is what I suspect. And I would be surprised if they ended up and that's not where they were.
Well, I think they've a long way to go to get into that group. This offseason. Granted, the offseason's not over. You're going to have the draft. You're going to have more free agency. You're going to have dollars to spend. Like, let's not forget that even if the Dolphins, we don't know where they're at cap-wise right now, but even if you project that the Dolphins right now are right at their cap and have no money to spend, they can free up $3 million by cutting Jeff Wilson today, tomorrow. They could free up about, you know, $11 to $12-13 million by extending Tua Tagovailoa tomorrow. If they wanted to restructure either Tyreek Hill or Bradley Chubb, you've got a massive amount of cap space that you free up by doing that. And then you still have $18 million in cap space that you're freeing up after June 1st. So it's not like the Dolphins are really anywhere close to filling out this roster at this point. But what I'll say is they have a lot of work to do because right now, they have made major holes.
They certainly haven't
gotten
demonstrably better at this.
Well, no, they've gotten worse. Like at this point, like don't sugarcoat it. They could get to the point where they're on the same level as they were last year. But right now, they are demonstrably worse because they have massive holes at two interior offensive lineman spots.
Yep.
One of those holes were there anyway, but one of those holes was opened up by Robert Hunt. And you know, I think Aaron Brewer, as much as I think he's a nice player and is going to do a solid job and is a great fit for the system, I think is still a downgrade from what we had last season in Connor Williams. And on the defensive interior, you basically have Zach Sealer and nobody else. Yep. You've got Neville Gallimore and you've got Brandon Peely.
Well, and then they've got those other guys signed.
Well, and then you've got your corners. Like everybody wants Cam Smith and everybody.
Well, you got Davion Nixon and Isaiah Mack.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah. Training camp guys, bodies. And then you've got your cornerback position where don't forget, granted, nobody wanted to pay Xavien Howard what Xavien Howard was going to need to get paid this year to keep him. But he was still by far your second best corner last year. And Cam Smith is the guy that everybody's expecting to step up and replace him. And he couldn't even get on the field over Ethan Bonner. Like, I'm not saying that Cam Smith is a bust after 1 year. And I'm going to give him the mulligan of 1 year and the whole, oh, Vic Fangio, he was in the doghouse, whatever. But if we're really going to sit here and just expect that Cam Smith is going to go in there and be a quality starter at cornerback when one of the best defensive coordinators in the league thinks that he couldn't get on the field over Ethan Bonner, and this is the same franchise that watched Noah Igbinoghene and said, oh, every year, oh, this is the year Noah Igbinoghene is really going to step up. I don't know how you watch this and you're not thinking, man, this guy really looks like he could be the next Noah Igbinoghene. I think he has a much higher likelihood of being the next Noah Igbinoghene than he does being the next Xavien Howard. I'll tell you that much. And if he's not, and if he ends up being great, that's awesome. But if we're banking on that, I don't think it's a good plan.
Fair enough. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. This is where we're going on our little hiatus here because the brain is about to take a trip. It's about to go on a little vacay.
40th birthday coming up.
He's turning 40 years old. So that's exciting. The brain turning 40. He only turned 40 once. So that's exciting. And so we're going to take a little break. So we won't have a show next week. We'll see about the week after that. And then we'll see. And then we'll try to get back into a little bit of a regular rotation here. And then as we build up to the draft, and then once the draft happens and comes and goes, things will start to slow down a little bit as we go into the summer months. But we will have you covered no matter what happens at DolphinsTalk.com. So make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Make sure that you are subscribed to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Leave us a 5-star rating if you'd be so kind. Leave us a positive review. We appreciate that. Like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. Once again, I'm at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Go ahead, give us a follow. We appreciate that very much. And we will be back in your earballs soon. In the meantime, as always, take care of yourselves and each other. And of course, go Dolphins!
Tweet at me if you want me to do a real deep dive breakdown on the holding of Jake Bailey in 2023. We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm mighty, mighty Dolphins.